I said consumer consumed sambandha. The food in the form of the earth is the food, isn't it? Earth is the food. First eaten. Then later on, when the body buried, is what now? Earth. Then becomes food, because earth, food, eater, eaten food become the eater food also. Eater food becomes the eaten food. So, that is the pratishtitam. Pratishtitam means supported. Pratishta means support. That example, I can give you the example. What is pratishta pratishtitam sambandha? Suppose, when we are all students in the Gurukulam, as children, no, when we all go to school, we did not construct a school, we do not pay the teachers, we do not pay any, those days. In India, education means free only. So there is no response. We had to go to school, sit and study, and then suppose we are residential school. Gurukula means what? Your food, you don't need to worry about the food. The teacher will take care of the food, the shelter, the accommodation, all your needs. All that you need to do, study. So you are supported by the Gurukulam. And when you grow up and become old, then you go out, then you become a supporter for the Gurukulam, isn't it? Like say, same way, children. When children are there, and children are supported by the parents, children don't worry about anything. We cannot pay, suppose imagine you have to pay the bill for everything, every day nappy changing. How much to pay, isn't it? It is so much we have to, they look off from childhood. There's no value, isn't it? We can't pay our debts to parents. So much I looked after. And when you grow up as an elderly person, and you look after the parents, and they become, because old age is second childhood, and they get old, supposed to be, okay, nowadays as people forget, no, all old age homes are not in the culture. Vedic culture, children have to look after, later on, children have to look after parents. And they become, that's the culture, that's the style, isn't it? If we live in our own, that's why those days, lifestyle was different. I'm talking about the Vedic period. Nowadays, we can't blame our children because they're living somewhere differently, different places. So that is what supported support system. Like that, there is interdependence. Once you are the support, and later on you become supported. And others who are supported, they become support later on. So interdependence. So that's why the two types of relationship between these two things, the three pairs we see here. So we have already finished one, we'll see the next one. So annam na parichakshita tadvratam apova annam jyotir annadam. So in this second eighth anuvaka, the object of meditation is what? The connection between, relationship between water and the fire. So annam na parichakshita. So apaha va annam. Apaha means water, waters actually. Va annam. Water is the consumed. Water is the consumed. Jyotihi annadam. Jyotish is a Jutajendra word. So jyotihi here means the fire here. The fight is, fire is the consumer. Okay, when one angle, water is the consumed and fire is the consumer. How do you say fire is the consumer, water is the consumed? See, when you are very, very thirsty, okay, when you are very thirsty, in Tamil we have this word, in Sanskritam also we have, Hindi also we have, dahaha. Dahaha, dahaha means thirst, you know, and this word dahana means burning. when there is a heat in the body, what is that? This is a Jataragni, digestive fire in the Samana Prana, digestive fire is activated actually, then there is a heat. That is when you really feel thirsty. What is thirsty? Being thirsty means what? Isn't it? And it needs to be what? No, quenched. That fire has to be put off internally. So you drink water. You drink water, and the water quenches the thirst, fire in the form of a thirst. Fire in the form of a thirst. Therefore. But here it says what now? Apaha annam. So water is the food, and fire is the eater. But the same fire, which is the eater, becomes eaten up. It becomes the eaten by the water also. When there is a fire, anywhere, somewhere, suppose fire accident is there, and how do you extinguish the fire? Use a lot of water. So throw the water, extinguish the fire, then when the water extinguishes the fire, that fire is what now? Eaten up, is said to be eaten up by the water. So fire can be eaten up, fire is eaten up by the water, and the water is what now? Water becomes eaten up by the fire also. Both in two different angles. One is the eater, one is the eaten. So inside the Jataragni is put off by the water you drink, the digestive fire in the stomach, isn't it? When it's functioning, then a lot of thirst, you feel very thirsty. And the thirst is what? put up by the water. And externally, when there's a fire and you extinguish the fire with the water only, the fire becomes the consumer, water becomes the consumer, and fire is the consumed. So how, from two different angles, one is the eater, another one is the eaten. So he says, now we see, this is the annam annadaha relationship between consumed consumer relationship between fire and the water. Therefore, apova annam jyotihi annadam. And thereafter he says, apsu jyotihi pratishthitam. So, jyotihi pratisha. So, the fire is supported by the water. Look at this. In the water, fire remains supported. Which means fire is supported by the water. Then, jyotishi apaha pratishthitaha. Then he says, in the fire, water remains supported. But water is supported by the fire, and the fire is supported by the water. How do we say this? Water is supported by the fire. Fire is supported by the water. Isn't it? Suppose, I'll give you a good example. See, when we all travel to, suppose, and as a tropical countries like India, and there in Bombay, Delhi in summer, the temperature is very, very high. And here you are freezing cold. And there it is now, there's a burning fire. Temperature is completely different temperature. And for us, our body needs always 98.4 Fahrenheit. It shouldn't go high, it shouldn't become less also. But how come it is maintained? Who maintains this? The heat in the body should not be high, should not be low also. It's maintained, isn't it? When you go to India, it's everywhere extremely hot. But body doesn't get very hot because of the heat, isn't it? When you come down here again, no sweating, nothing. There's at least a mechanism of sweating. Really helps us. Otherwise, what will happen otherwise? It will have gone up like above this 98.4 Fahrenheit, and then what would have happened? So that mechanism of sweating, really, how it really, what is maintained, how the temperature is maintained. And you come here, you don't sweat at all. Here, if you sweat, what will happen? Imagine, in this cold weather, already it is cold. If you sweat also, what will happen? Already we hardly touch bathroom, the towel in the water. Already paper culture. In India, we have water for everything. Why you don't touch water here? Because of the cold weather. Because you avoid touching water. Imagine if you are sweating like India all the time. Imagine what will happen if you sweat like all the time. In Madras, you don't need to go anything. Okay, if you just had to get down somewhere from this, the one just to walk few minutes, Madras, you will sweat and all the dress will become wet. So much of sweating. But the same sweat if it happens here, what will happen? Okay, that is why pratishtitam. Okay, so jyotihi apsu pratishtitaha pratishtitam. Okay, apaha jyotishi pratishtitaha. Therefore, this is support. So the heat is what now? It has the support of the water, and water is supported by the fire also. So, paraspara sambandha, paraspara upakaraha. Now, paraspara upakaraha, you back scratch my back, I scratch your back. So, let us be scratches of each other. So, be supporters of each other, isn't it? So, here, paraspara upakarakaha. So, mutual supporters. And mutually supported also. He says, Jyotishyapav pratishthitaha, Jyotishyapav pratishthitaha, Tadetadannamanne pratishthitam, Tadetadannamanne pratishthitam. Now he says, Tad yetad annam anne pratishthitam, Saya yetad annam anne pratishthitam, Veda pratitishthati. Here again, we have to remember the consumer. One annam is the consumer, another annam is the consumed, which means one annam stands for water, another annam stands for fire. So here, this water and fire, okay, the consumer and the consumed, okay, because one is annam from the standpoint of the other, consumed. Therefore, this consumer annam and the apaha and consumed fire and consumer fire and the consumed annam, the water, these two are what now? They have that this sambandha. They are mutually dependent. Not that they are mutually supporting each other also. So, and one who really thinks about this fact, you are not simply mechanically meditate upon this alone. You don't see how really you have to pay a lot of attention to see this. How really fire is the pratishtha, support for the water. How water is the support for the fire. How water is consumed and fire is the consumer. How fire is the consumed and water is the consumer. This sambandha, this annam annada sambandha, anna annada sambandha, pratishtha pratishthita sambandha, this sambandha between fire and water, really we have to think and analyze. If we pay attention to this, we dwell upon it, it becomes what? Meditation upon anna annada sambandha, pratishtha pratishthita sambandha between fire and water. This is what we are supposed to meditate on. Okay, this helps us, will definitely make us understand how the whole universe, as an individual, how we are now interconnected to everything else. We are not just here on our own. Okay, our existence here is connected with the existence of the ant which comes and bites at the back also. Yes, everything is connected here. Therefore, and he says, one who meditates upon this, and I won't repeat it, you will know very simple. One who practices this meditation, yasaha yaha yetad annam anne patishtitam veda, Saha Pratitishtati. So one who practices this meditation on Anna Anna the Sambandha, Pratishta Pratishtita Sambandha of fire and water, he becomes what now? Support. No, support for what? He becomes a support means what? He doesn't need to be supported. He becomes the support, he becomes established, which means he becomes the one blessed with abundance of food, and he is the one who becomes enjoyer of food, enjoyer of all pleasures, and he becomes a great person. He becomes blessed with good progeny and good cattle wealth, and also what? Brahma Varchas, which is possible only if you have absolute relaxation and inner absolute tranquility, and which is possible only if you are wise, if you have wisdom. Brahma Varchas is not possible if there is no wisdom here. Isn't it? Therefore, now our Swamiji always says, no, this Brahma Varchas also is what? When there is fullness, you are not dependent on happiness, fullness for upon anybody else, anything else, naturally you don't find fault. And then you become accommodative, isn't it? Then that is this fullness, this full love itself is expression of warmth and care, is also what expression of one's fullness. When you yourself are inadequate and you can't express the fullness, isn't it? And you are inadequate and naturally you will find fault. You depend on others for your fullness and happiness and you can't accommodate. And definitely you can't be really, you can't be a loving person of warmth and care. Therefore, the expression of fullness is what? Warmth and care also becomes a support. For which, that is what we say what? Here, because that anxiety-free mind is there, then there'll be Brahma Varchas. Anxiety is in the mind, there won't be Varchas. There won't be only wrinkles, isn't it? So, but anxiety-free mind means what? Varchas. Brahma Varchas. And anxiety-free mind is possible only if there is tranquility, which is only possible in the, if there is wisdom. Very, very quickly we are going, aren't we? Okay. Annam bahu kurvita. Annam bahu kurvita. Tadvratam. As I told you, the 7th anuvaka and the 8th anuvaka, now we are doing the 9th anuvaka. This 9th anuvaka, and what is the vratam here? First is vratam. Annam bahu kurvita. Today, helplessly, we have talked only about annam, 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 annam. Actually, I really left one point earlier. Annam na parichakshita, that vrata means, may not waste food means, wasting food is a papa karma. You are disrespectful. And even the person who serves the food also should not overfeed. Now when somebody says enough, we should stop feeding, serving. Why? Because thereby you force other person, you know what now? The other person is forced to waste food. When you overfeed, you know, and as a sannyasi, when you go for bhiksha, we know, because you're always overfed. and then if we say no, and but I never waste food, that's a different, that's if I put on weight here, that's a different problem, isn't it? But when you over, when people say enough, and you go, when you serve more also, and then they're forced to waste, then the papam doesn't go to the person who leaves the food. Or who serves the food also has the power. Therefore, what I'm saying, you know, food should not be wasted. But sometimes people, what they do, they don't even know what it is, what curd is it, okay? And they should say no. But they're not overfeeding, okay? Even one spoon if you put also, they'll waste it. There are people who waste that, okay? I tell you, now that we are overfeeding sometimes. Anyway, even if you don't like it, manage to eat it. Don't waste it. What I said earlier. So now, this is a different vow now. This is what a third vow here. First, may not criticize food, may not waste food. Now, third vratam is what? Annam bahu kurvita. May you cook abundantly. What does it mean? It's all for Vedic period, okay? Don't take it seriously for London, England here. It's all for India. Even India is Vedic times. Because Vedic times, always anybody can come and eat in the house. You need not be a known person. An unknown stranger is always expected for food. Always we have to expect somebody who is completely not known to us, whose date of arrival is known to us, not known to us. Therefore, sir, atithi. Isn't it? Tithi is known. Which tithi they are coming? Panchami or Shashti? Sixth or seventh? Which date are they coming? We do not know. Suddenly they will drop in. It means what now? Always house, there are people in the house. Never the house is locked and then we went go away somewhere. Even somebody or the other will be there. The food must be there. And a lot of food must be cooked and they should come. And no hotel, food should not be sold. Selling food, such a cheap behavior. You know, eating, going to the hotel and eating is a very shameful thing for us those days. Nowadays, restaurants are fashion now, okay? And those days, because people had to, this all for Vedic style, Vedic period, how the people have lived. So anybody can come and then they come and they relax and then in front of you, you know, in the house, and you ask them to come inside, immediately you feed. What do you have, you feed. Therefore, you never ever cook very little. Oh my God, they have come, how to give them. No, that sort of thing should not be there. Always cook a lot of food. That is why once you get used to that culture, very difficult to stop feeding and stop cooking and stop giving. Very difficult. You know? Very difficult, isn't it? You are so much, from childhood you have been seeing all the time feeding, cooking a lot of food. And then suddenly you don't have to give anybody, nobody comes here, nobody eats here. Means what now? But here what happened, at least, we go and can give it to somebody. Here who will come and take the food? But nowadays you cannot allow strangers to come nowadays, even in India. Known people should come. And known people should be coming, informing you. If you don't, culture changes, isn't it? So those days, the culture is, always don't cook very little food cooking. And when somebody comes and if you say there's no food to feed them, means what? And let me, can I cook? Would you like to have something? You should not ask those things. You could be ready. Asking them and afterwards and they don't want anything, I just not cook anything, I'm tired. So no, those things are not. Always cook, food must be there. Annam bahu kurvita. It's all not practical for the nowadays. I'm just saying, it's only for the people of Vedic period. So annam bahu kurvita. See, for one to cook a lot of food, food is the cheapest thing that we should be able to give, definitely share. For which there must be abundance of riches also, isn't it? The abundance, the storeroom must be full of grains. No, I don't have rice, I don't have dal, and I don't have that, nothing. You should not say no. We don't have that, we never say that. We don't have rice in the house, we should not say. Because Lakshmi, you should not say that. Now what we say? It's over, we'll say. We will not say no. We don't have, we'll never say. It's over. It's over means what? No? Over means it's finished, we say. But we don't have, that we should not say. That's Lakshmi. And store, no. That we have storeroom must be full of sack, full of lots of grace must be there. And then anybody comes, you should be able to cook and give food. Therefore, that ratham. That means at least you don't need to cook and give everybody these days. You will complain later on with the disease and problems. So here there means bahuk, at least have that generosity, isn't it? So annam bahuk kurvita. May you cook abundance of food. May you share the food always. The person need not be known person, known friend or anything. Whoever comes, just feed. Annam bahu kurvita tadvratam. Later on, now we go to the third pair. After lunch also, even if you are sleeping also, it's okay. See, very simple lessons are coming. Prithivi va annam. Then, here, the pair is what? Prithivi and akashaha. Earth and space are divine. The sambandha between earth and space. What is the sambandha between earth and space? there is sambandha. There is annam annada sambandha. I am repeating so many times so that you will understand that only two forms of relationship between this, the three pairs. So annam annada sambandha, anna annada sambandha, pratishtha pratishtita sambandha between space and earth, or earth and space. One becomes the food, other becomes annam, another becomes the consumer, isn't it? So here first he says, prithiviva annam. First he says, the earth is the consumed. Prithiviva annam means what? Earth becomes the consumed. Etran, akashaha annadaha. The space becomes the consumer. So, earth becomes the consumed and space becomes the consumer. How do we say earth is the consumed and space is the consumer? Eater, isn't it? If you see the order of the creation. What is the subtlest of the elements? Space is the subtlest of the elements. Earth is the grossest of the elements. And if you see the order, space alone came first, isn't it? And from the space came the air, and from the air came the fire, from the fire came the water, and from the water came this earth also. Therefore, earth is what now? The karyam, and space is the karanam. And there's a karana karya sambandha between space and earth, isn't it? Therefore, you can say, as the cause, what now? Earth becomes the consumed. Isn't it? Always this, effect becomes what now? Engulfed by the cause. Because effect is not outside of the cause. Effect is effect being non-separate from the cause is what now? Being engulfed by the cause. Therefore here space as a cause is what now? Is a consumer, engulfer of the effect, the earth. Therefore we say consumer. Space is the consumer. And then what now? The earth is the space, the space becomes the earth, becomes the consumed, space becomes the consumer. The same way, now you can say, you have to say that also. Now space becomes the consumed and earth becomes the consumer. Oh, this we could understand easily because space is the cause, earth is the effect. Therefore space is the consumer, earth is the consumed, isn't it? Now, how does space become the consumed and earth becomes the consumer? If you say, every object which exists in space is what? Modified form of earth only, isn't it? And any earthen product sitting anywhere occupies space, isn't it? Occupies space. In Bombay flats or even central and small flats and all, suppose if three people go, there's no space. We can't really, what to say now. We have more and more things and they occupy the space. Really, all these things, what now? We simply say all these things consume my space. We easily say this expression. It's a very easily used expression. In small flats, lots of things they have, and things we put here consume this space. They occupy more space, isn't it? More things are there, they occupy more space. Therefore, they consume the space. That's how space becomes what now? Consumed. Then not only earth is the consumed, what now? Space is the consumed and earth becomes the consumer. Do you see this now? Do you understand the difference here? Therefore, they both are mutually consumers. Both are mutually consumed also. There is consumer-consumed sambandha between, relationship between earth and space. Not only that, there is also pratishtha-pratishtita Sthita Sambandha between earth and space. Supporter, support Sambandha between earth and space. So he says, Tadu Yetadu Annam Anne Pratishtitam. Both are mutually supportive of each other. Both are interdependent also. How it is the support? Like again, as I said earlier, the space, the space is the support for the earth as the cause. Space as the cause is what? No, support for the earth. And earth becomes supported. Any cause is the support, any effect is the supported. That way, earth is supported, space is the support. Now, how does space become the supported and earth becomes the support? Isn't it? Listen to me very carefully. How does space become the supported, earth becomes the support? Look at this. The space really becomes recognized only when it is transactable. Non-transactable space, non-useful space, unuseful space is what? Non-recognized space. For the space to be recognized, it must be used. It must be useful and transactable. For it to be useful, the space by itself can never become, what now? Useful and transactable. It needs to be enclosed. Enclosed space alone, useful space, usable space, transactable space, enclosed space is not useful space. Non-useful means non-recognizable. Anything useful is recognized, isn't it? Unused means non-recognized. Therefore, in that way, suppose for example, if there is a water, okay, water is there, and the water is contained in the space only. Water doesn't, anything exists in the only space only. But the space by itself cannot become what? Container of the water, if it is not enclosed by the container vessel. Suppose there is no space at all, a flat plate is there. Flat plate is there. Can it be the container of the water? No. So, isn't it? The space enclosed by a given container vessel, enclosed space, enclosed by a given container, what now? That space become what? A container of the water. Any space itself, when enclosed by the four walls, it becomes the church, it becomes the house, it becomes a toilet, it becomes a puja room, it becomes bedroom, it becomes useful, isn't it? Now the whole, we go to Beckenham Place Park, who can question me, who can ask me if I walk the whole day up and down there? Nobody can question, why is this, in this house, if I walk into somebody else's house, if I walk whole day, I want to walk inside the ground, garden, will they allow me to walk? Why? Enclosed. Enclosed means, what no? It has weight, isn't it? Enclosed space is useful and transactable. Therefore, it is what? Paid. You have to pay. To go into the gym, to sit there for a few, 1 hour, you have to pay. Enclosed space, you have to pay. Open space, free, isn't it? Nobody can ask you to pay. Why? Because it's just a free space, not enclosed. What I'm saying here, enclosed is the what now? Enclosed by walls, it serves a purpose, it is useful, then it is what? It is transactable and useful. Now, unenclosed space is not useful. It doesn't serve any purpose. Of course, it serves a purpose. But I'm here, I'm saying, generally. Therefore, the usefulness of space really is possible and is transactable only when it is enclosed. And for the enclosed, what is it which encloses the space? Earth. And the enclosures, all the enclosures are, what now? The earth alone is in the form of enclosures. Therefore, in this way, remaining as the enclosures, those make the, that which makes the really the space usable and recognizable and transactable is what? The earth. That way, earth is the support, space is the supported. It's good to know all these things, isn't it? We never think that way. Is what now? Akasha, Prithivi, Pratishta, Pratishtita, Sambandha, Upasanam, Arthyanam. Okay? Now you know this, how, like this, we have seen now three pairs, and between which there is two types of relationship, Anna, Annada, Sambandha, Pratishta, Pratishtita, Sambandha, and now you know how everything is interdependent, isn't it? There is interdependence between these three pairs. We understand. This should help us to understand the interdependence of everything in this universe. Which means as human beings, as the most sophisticated of all the creatures in the world, with the self-consciousness, with the knowledge I am, with the knowledge, with the will, being blessed with the willpower, the capacity to choose to do a given action, to refrain from the undesirable action, with all this now, being blessed with the willpower, being blessed with the self-consciousness, and as a responsible individual, you can understand how the human beings are connected to everything in the world. There is, what now, this annam, annada, sambandha, pratishta, pratishtita, sambandha is there between what? Humanity and the rest of the world. We have to see the connection. There is human beings, then galaxy, sambandha. Human beings, sun, sambandha. Human beings, moon, sambandha. Human beings, stars, sambandha. Human beings, earth, sambandha. Human beings, space, sambandha. Human beings, fire, sambandha. Human beings, water, sambandha. Human beings, no, devata, vana, sambandha. Tree, sambandha. Human beings, plant, sambandha. There is sambandha. Isn't it? So, in fact, we whole day, we can abundantly consume the oxygen, and we can what now? All our dirty carbon dioxide, the plants can inhale and also keep the atmosphere clean. Is Bhagavan's, or isn't it? Bhagavan is a proper thermostat. Look at it, everything is perfectly maintained. Where there's order maintained here. You know? So if we, therefore, what can you say? All the forests and the woods are what now? Really, lungs of the society, humanity, not the humanity. Lungs, we were now all the pulmonary, isn't it? Then, if we really destroy the trees, we don't do in this country. Okay, in India, we were doing a lot of this wrong things. You are very conscious here. So, when we destroy the trees and those things, then what happens? Really, it will contribute for pulmonary diseases of this whole society. So what I mean, generally, just some general things, you know, when there's a connection between, I want to give small example, that's all. So everything is, there's a connection, which means every effect, no effect happens immediately. Arasan andrukolvan, devam nindrukollum. When you say, no, otayappa vittesulum, something, we never hear there's something. Yeah. Which means, see, if you do something wrong now, you may not feel any wrong action, right action. The effect won't come immediately, but it will take its own time to come. Because there's a connection. It will take, it's a cycle, no? There's a sambandha is there. Because it's interconnectedness, No, because of this inseparable relationship and interdependence, anything we do, knowingly or unknowingly, disturb the universal harmony, disturb the harmony of the universal natural law and order. Ozone holes, greenhouse effect, whatever we talk about, all those things somehow in the now latest is what? This global warming is all actually somewhere all our actions must have contributed for. Unknowingly or knowingly. Okay, anything. Oh, other people don't understand really. There is, immediately they'll hold, oh, Bhagavan has no heart, or Bhagavan is very bad, and then why there is tsunami, why people are suffering, why this is happening. Everything, anything, anywhere happens, there is a cause behind it. Because there is something that is responsible for this effect to be there. That means somewhere, the humanity's actions are responsible for what the humanity is going through. Isn't it? We had the end of this. Samashti Paradha, Vyashti Paradha. As a Vyashti Paradha, what I go through individually, personally, somewhere, what no? There is a cause behind it. Because somewhere my actions, knowingly, unknowingly done actions, disturbed this harmony. Then I had to pay for it. As a whole, Samashti, we have contributed. We had to pray for it. Therefore, this disturbance in the universal, in the order, the harmony of the universal order, caused by our actions, because we are not outside of the universe. We are part of the universe. At least we are somewhere, we can be put, thrown away somewhere, far, banished somewhere. Then Bhagavan would have decided long ago, let me throw away all of them far away so that their existence, their actions do not afflict anything here. And unfortunately, Bhagavan cannot throw us away. That is how Bhagavan is. Bhagavan also is incapable of, what now, throwing us away, because we are all, Bhagavan is the whole. That is why, who is Bhagavan? One whole cosmic organism, and you give the form to that. Who is Bhagavan? Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha, Sahasraksha Sahasrapat, all the heads, Virat Purushaha, Hiranyagarbha, is a cosmic being, cosmic person. How our lung, our heart, our kidneys are part of us. We are all, what now? People in Beckenham and the whole Beckenham and all of them, and like every part of the world is what? One cell of Bhagavan, okay? Every one of us is what now? In Bhagavan. Imagine. We are all, this is Bhagavan Vibhuti. It's all Bhagavan's Vibhuti. Vishwarupa Darshanam, 11th chapter, we're going to study later on. Whole universe we have to see as one being. Only then we will know what is our duty, okay? How to be dutiful, how to be conscious and sensitive of not disturbing the order, so that I will be intelligent enough not to disturb the order, and I will intelligently escape from the ill effects also. You cannot escape because you're part of the whole. Never ever we should forget. Okay, this is Saguna Brahma appreciation. Ishvara, it is, first this appreciation must be there. What is Ishvara? This is the concept of Ishvara we should understand. If I think, Ishvara is somewhere sitting away from me, far from me, invisible Ishvara, sitting unseeable place, somewhere far, completely not reachable, and sitting there through remote control, he is really controlling us, means that Bhagavan is called what? That Ishvara. Therefore, that is not here. For us, Ishvara is the very, how Ishvara is, the life of the cosmos here. Ishvara is in the form of the very cosmos. And the Sagunam Brahma is Ishvara. First, it is very important for us to understand this. And then that's why in Vishnu Sahasranama, if you read this, the cosmic person is described here. Bhuv Pado Yasya Nabhir. Bhuhu Pado. Earth is the feet of the Bhagavan. Yasya Nabhir Viyad. Now, once the navel, what now? The Viyad, the space is what now? His navel. Viyadas, no, then Asuhu, then is the, his breath is the air. Viyadas, Aranilas, Chandra, Surya, Uchanetre. Chandra, Surya, Sun and Moon are the eyes. Karna, Vasa, Dishos, Devur, Mukhamapi, Dahano, Yasyava, Asteyam, Abdihi. No, like this, there's a beautiful description of, I don't want to go into the Sahasranama. But what I'm saying, there's a beautiful, in the whole cosmos is present. What is the head of Bhagavan? What is the ears of Bhagavan? What is the eyes of Bhagavan? Whole thing, you mean what? The whole thing is one cosmic Purushaha Ishvaraha. Okay, what is Purushaha? Purushaha means what now? The cosmic being who has the inseparable cosmic organism is Ishvara. And there's a link with connections between everything here. Therefore, everything should be, how can I maintain the lungs of Bhagavan, and the cholesterol of Bhagavan, sugar of Bhagavan, and then kidneys of Bhagavan, all the organs of Bhagavan, how can I maintain them? How can I contribute for maintenance of Bhagavan's well-being? How? Just by doing the right, avoiding the wrong. Understand? Only by living a life of dharma, as an individual part of the whole, my contribution for the maintenance of the universal harmony is my living a life of dharma. So that what? I will also be unaffected by the cosmic problems. This is very important. That is what is said here in this thing. It's very beautiful to know this, isn't it? Do you like it or not? Okay, so here, now you know how Prithivi Pratishthita, Akashaha Pratishthitaha, isn't it? How space is the support and earth is the supported, and earth also becomes the support and space becomes the supported. Therefore, Saya etad annam anne pratishtitam veda. And one who meditates upon this anna annada sambandha, pratishta pratishtita sambandha, okay, between these pairs, this pair of space and earth, is the one who really understands the interconnectedness of everything in this universe. No, such a person naturally becomes what? No, pratishthita, pratitishthati means he becomes the support. One who lives a life of dharma, he has the backing of dharma, he has strength. Living a life of dharma is the strength, really speaking. The jnanam is the absolute strength, and living a life of dharma is the relative strength. There's no way of becoming strong. How can I become strong? How can I become brave? How can I become courageous? How can I have the strength to manage everything in situation? How can I avoid becoming mad? Isn't it? Because sometimes, you know, the situations in life can really drive you mad, chase you. But still, how can I withstand everything? What is the strength, isn't it? absolute strength. Knowledge is the absolute strength, and commitment to live a life of dharma and living a life of dharma is the relative strength. This person has what? One who has relative strength becomes eligible for the absolute strength also. Knowledge also. See clear? Therefore he says now, pratitishtati. So, he becomes a support. And then, annavananna. I don't need to repeat that again. The meaning comes, annavan bhavati, annadaha bhavati, prajaya mahan bhavati, prajaya pashubihi brahma varchasena. Now, Bhamma Varchasena Mahan Kitya Pratitishtati. He becomes support, he becomes established, he becomes blessed with the, what now? Fame, and he becomes great fame, he becomes blessed with Brahma Varchas. Already explained to you what is Brahma Varchas. I don't need to explain to you again. Then he becomes blessed with abundance of cattle and also good progeny. And he becomes blessed with abundance of wealth and riches and food. And he not only he becomes blessed with the pleasure of enjoying all his possessions. In terms of wealth, food, everything. Okay. That means what? He will not miss anything in life. If everything you have, what joy you will have. That joy that person will have. With them or without them, he'll have. That you've already learned it, no? In Brahma, that Ananda Mimamsa, you've already learned it. Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya, you've learned it already. Shrotriyasya akamahatasya, the person, akamahataha, one who is afflicted by disease, the dispassionate person, now, even without having done anything also, he has the joy. Because of his keeping with the degree of dispassion, he also has what now? He enjoys the greater degree of joy. High degree of joy, we've already seen. Like this person also, one who is given to the practice of this meditation, really has what now? Becomes very sensitive and alert. The sensitivity and alertness. No, sensitivity and real sensitivity and alertness really will be there only when you see the interconnectedness. This is how we will really, this appreciation of Ishvara as a whole also what knows, will really help you to become humble. Humility will come, arrogance also will, what is there for us, and arrogance, the pride and the self-aggrandizement, all these things will really resolve in appreciating this Sagunam Brahma Ishvara as a one cosmic being. How? What are we here? What are we here? What is here for us? Isn't it? So, this is something very, very important. This is more important than actually for us. Isn't it? And then, this is how also respect for others also. Respect for everything in the world. Reverence for every life, any life. Reverence for another life. No? Value for others' life. Because you don't take anybody else's life for granted. Every life is as significant as my life. Reverence for any life. Respect for anybody, everything in the world. And all those things will be naturally there when you appreciate this interconnectedness of Sagunam Brahma. Okay? And here ends this three upasanani and vratams also end here. Don't take Taittiriya Upanishad for granted. Okay? You have to really redo again everything. How you are going to do, I'll tell you the technique, method, how to redo the whole Taittiriyam from the beginning, how to assimilate it, how to see whether you have understood or not, even if you have, whether you have understood correctly or not. So, to see all that, you have to redo the Taittiriya Upanishad. How to do, I'll tell you later on. The 10th Anuvaka, will keep it for next week. Okay? 9 Anuvakas over. And here, this is what we see, but what Shankara says here, or as a commentary, in his commentary for these things. He says, because when you see the Sagunam Brahma, when you see the interdependence of everything here, okay, just by meditating upon these three pairs itself, you see the interconnectedness of everything, interdependence of everything. Is there anything in this universe which is independent? Everything is dependent on something or the other, isn't it? There's nothing which has independent existence. Therefore, anything which does not have independent existence is what? Mithya. You all know this well. Therefore, everything is mithya. Shankara wants to point out that. What is that? Then okay, and that which is adhishtanam, the support, the absolute support, which is independent of all these interdependent things and beings, and which is independent of all of them, at the same time, which is the very substratum for all these interdependent things and beings, that adhishtanam Brahman is what? Alone satyam. Okay? That Brahman is satyam. And everything is what? Mithya. This is what Shankara's thing. Shankara doesn't talk about much about this upasana, all those things. He says, of course he writes there, not much. But what he emphasizes this is, that from this, this also another view. When you meditate upon this, you say, oh my God, this is how meditation upon these three pairs, the dependence and interconnectedness between these three pairs itself will help you understand the interconnectedness of everything in this universe means you can see there's nothing which here which really enjoys independent existence. Nothing is independent. Everything is dependent only. Interdependent. Which means everything is mithya. If it is mithya, anything which has dependent existence, everything has dependent existence means, as a whole, it has what now? What is that which is depended on for existence? Is it? So this interdependent, dependent prapanchaha. You know? The universe of interdependent beings and things, situations, and which all of them as a whole is dependent on something, isn't it? For its existence. And that which is the substratum for this interdependent, mutually dependent, the universe is adhishtanam Brahma. And that Brahman is what now has been said here as, presented here as, yato bhutani jayante, you know, yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena bhuta yena jatani jivanti, yat prayanti abhisam vishantiti, tad brahmeti. That is what is Brahman. That adhishtanam Brahman is the jagat. Srishti sthiti laya karanam, and that srishti sthiti laya karanam of the jagat Brahman, that Brahman is what now? Panchakosha atitaha sakshi, panchakosha vilakshanaha sakshi chaitanyam tvamasi, and you are that pure consciousness distinct from all these five layers of personality, distinguished from all the layers of personality, and is Brahman, the Jagat Karanam, which is the only independent reality, only secondless, non-dual, independent reality. Okay. This is what Shankara's expression on this. Is it clear? Isn't it beautiful to know these things? It could have been a little elaborated, but I didn't stop it. Okay. Any questions?
Just one question. Yes, sir. You explained that these three pairs of samskara which you talked about, Can you explain what you meant by we should meditate upon these things? In other words, you've taught us this, you've got this. When you say meditate upon...
See, meditating means you know the connection now. You can think about again further how the in each how each pair, the two things, you know, of each pair is mutually connected, mutually dependent on each other, we support for each other, isn't it? What is the connection? That when you think about it, what you don't think of anything else, isn't it? That particular thing becomes your object of meditation. Meditation means paying attention to that and thinking that. Visualizing and seeing how really... Now, as I was telling you, you are all meditating on that. You were listening only to me, what I was telling, when I said how, you know, this earth becomes the support of this space. I was telling, then what were you thinking that time? Your attention was only in what I was saying. See, this paying attention to that, how this earth is support for this space. This is your meditating. And how this space is the support for the earth, how earth is the support for this space. And how earth is the consumed and how space is the consumer. And how space is the consumed, earth becomes the consumer. I have said a few things. I didn't really elaborate on it much because little is enough, I thought. We think, you know, this is mainly, Upanishad is not just interested in presenting only these three pairs. Even though Upanishad presents these three pairs, and then Upanishad talks about the two types of relationship between these three pairs. As anna annala sambandha, pratishta pratishtita sambandha, which means supported sambandha, consumer consumed sambandha. But through this, by presenting these three pairs alone, Upanishad expects us to understand what is expected on the part of Upanishad is, on us is, Upanishad expects us to understand that there is nothing which is independent. Now, so we know how much care we really, how much attention we pay, even a small pain somewhere in one corner of the body, the whole attention is given to that, so that the harmony of the entire the body is maintained. Because you don't want any other part get affected also. Because if that is the problem, immediately you pay attention to that, you correct it so that the whole system is maintained well. That is what is healthcare, isn't it? In the human, the body health care means what? Body health care. The same way, there must be health care, well-being, care for the well-being of the humanity, the entire world, the society as a whole. Because if we think only I am there, my family is there, my community, my relatives, my people, means we are really short-sighted, we don't have wide vision. Our understanding is not wide. You don't need to really, you can't go and take the whole world. Being wherever you are, charity begins at home. You know, in a simple way, smallest way, how you can contribute for the health of the whole world. Isn't it? Health means well-being of the whole society, whole world. How? Because any part of the world gets affected, you are part of the world, you will be affected. Because you have to know, oh, I don't want to be hurt, I don't want to get wounded, I don't want to get afflicted, I don't want to be, isn't it? Hurt means, I take care that I don't hurt. How? Only by living a life of dharma. I can't go all over the world and to do things here. So being at home, doing my duties, just being conscious of knowledge of right and wrong. Now, implementing this knowledge of right and wrong, avoiding the wrong consciously, deliberately, doing the right. That means my actions are not governed by my personal whims and fancies. My actions are governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. Means that's the only way I can contribute for the health, holistic health of the entire world, which means I'm here as a part of the integral part of the cosmic person, so that I will also be safe. Okay, we don't think that way, no? Oh, no. So what? Somewhere somebody is getting killed, so what? That's why this is very important here. This is what really, this really widens your vision, widens your understanding, the narrowness also goes. And you see, then all this difference also. He is white, I am black, he is brown, I am Asian, I am English, I am African. All these differences also, of course, the cultural variation we may keep away. But still, 100% wholeheartedly we can pray, Loka, Samastha, Sukhino, Bhavantu. That prayer is possible. You don't mechanically say that. You intentionally, you really fervently pray, genuine prayer that is. May all the worlds be happy. We don't want anybody in the world to be unhappy and suffer. Why? Because that prayer, in fact, understand now, that is why I do not know, unknowingly or unknowingly, this Nitya Puja. Now this is what important is, I want to tell you, I'll stop in 10 minutes. Nitya Puja is a compulsory for all of us. Everyday worship. In fact, there's a Sandhya Vandanam, Trikala Sandhya Vandanam, morning, the dawn, noon, dusk times. We are supposed to do the Sandhya Vandanam, or the men are supposed to, women also. The prayer, the worship itself, in fact, there we say, we see our connections. I don't take anything for granted here. I really acknowledge the contribution. I acknowledge the presence. I acknowledge my dependence upon all these devatas. This way, Adityam Tarpayami, no? Vayum Tarpayami, Akasham Tarpayami, Prithivim Tarpayami. There's a mantra, Homas also. Why we perform the rituals offering oblations? Because not simply, mechanically. It's all 100% acknowledgement of our interconnectedness, dependence upon all these beings here. Our life itself is completely dependent on the grace of devatas, shaktis here. That is why everyday worship itself is to express my gratitude for being, isn't it, to the devatas, which is an expression of my understanding of recognition of connectedness, interdependence. That's why Nitya Puja, everyday puja, why we people think we waste, you know, all the temples and all. People go and quarrel actually. Not for quarreling, not for what prestige and what board, what is this? Just how big are we? They really don't understand the significance of the puja, abhishekam, everything. You know, because when we do that, it's all meaningful karma. That is why we respect that, with that perspective, we respect even lighting a candle in a church. They're all cultural forms. The forms are different. But the spirit behind the form is what? Gratefulness, gratitude towards devatas. All the different, whom I am dependent on. I'm dependent on so many things in this world, isn't it? And then that's why my gratefulness to that. The expression of my gratitude means I'm aware. I'm aware of my dependence. When I say Adityam Tarpayami, I'm aware of my dependence upon sun. I'm conscious. I'm not mechanical here. I'm conscious. I'm alert. It's clear now? This appreciation of Sagunameshwara is very important. Only then the appreciation of Nirgunam Brahma is possible, Shankara says. Who has any questions?
Yeah, but very quickly, I mean, these two relationships, these two sambandhas, is the implication that these are the two primary sambandhas for all?
Yeah.
Is that it? Other types?
These are the main type. Main.
These are the main.
Main. Because consumer consumed means enough. Supported support sambandha. That's enough.
And we will find that in pretty much all relationships.
Everything here.
Those two we will find in everything. That's the idea.
Hamaji says, no, students are now really, for the teacher, students are all blessing. Because without them, there's no sambandha, isn't there? There's no sambandha. One cannot have the status of being the teacher without the students. Without the teacher, the students cannot call them students. Mutually different. For any teacher to have the status of being the teacher, there must be students. The blessings of students. For a teacher to a student to have the status of being the students, there must be teaching, there must be teacher. So there's sambandha, isn't it? No status is independent status. One can be a man, isn't it? Just a man. But father, status, sambandha.
There's no man without a woman. There's no man without a woman.
That's what I'm saying.
That is
what we, in the so-called present day situation, which is very much appreciated even by politicians, MPs in this country, really it is not acceptable according to Vedic culture. We don't want to talk about it anyway. This is all how if we see from, that is why everything has to be seen correctly.
Last question.
Yeah.
So everything's independent. If you take that to another level, you can say that nothing is your own because everything, you know, I haven't created anything. I didn't create my body. It's all come to me. So there's no sense of free will. There's no independent will.
No.
And then you talk about Dharma. Is there anything that can, and that comes from Ishvara, the cosmic. So is there anything that can go against Dharma? Is there any Dharma?
No, that is why we say right and wrong both are Dharma, and the punishment and blessing both are Dharma. Both are Ishvara. Both are the law and order only. Dharma means, dharma if you see in a wider perspective, the word dharma means the law and order.
You can't go against that.
No. So right is dharma, wrong also is dharma, and the punishment also is what now? Dharma. Blessing also is dharma. Everything is Ishvara. Dharma is Ishvara. Understand? Order. And here the free will. Of course, nothing is your creation. Nothing is created. There's no creation at all. Where is your creation? There's no creation. We only say there's only manifestation. There's no creation. There's no destruction also. There's only resolution and manifestation. But still, free will as an individual, relatively, when you identify yourself as an individual, there is a knowledge of right and wrong you're blessed with. And there is self-consciousness also. You know, because if you say, you know right and what is right and what is wrong. Because in terms of the behavior, what you expect from others, okay, this person should tell this truth to me. He should do the right to me. He should not hurt me. You know, why do you expect that? Because you know the other person speaking the truth to you is right. Telling lies is wrong. Other person hurting you is wrong. So how you know what is right and what is wrong from what you expect from others in terms of behavior. Therefore, the same thing is applicable for what? Up to everybody, isn't it?
Everyone.
So for your own self, for example, how you should behave, how your behavior should be. Your behavior should be governed by your knowledge of right and wrong.
So you have a vision of what is healthy, what is right.
Mm.
But at the same time, even if that doesn't happen, that's just the way it's meant to be.
No, that is where the willpower is there. It needs to be used. Whenever you are not able to use your knowledge of right and wrong, what happens, the knowledge becomes unused. Unused knowledge means the power, the force of the desires, the force of your thoughts, the forceful thoughts, the powerful thoughts, the desires, really enslave them, isn't it? They become enslave the buddhi. That is why we say always you have to, the knowledge of right and wrong should be used so that you don't get enslaved by your own thoughts. Disease. Thoughts remain as slaves. Thoughts are really a mastery over the thoughts. And for you to be able to use your will to have mastery over your own desires and thoughts, not to go against the dharma, to do the right, to avoid the wrong, really, you need grace. That is when we say, there's a helplessness also, a helpless situation. Understand your helplessness, then seek help, pray. That is why prayer is a must. See, the prayer, this is why you understand the efficacy of prayer also. And you understand the significance of worship also. The every nitya puja itself to neutralize, to remind ourselves of our interconnectedness, interdependence, which really keeps you humble and righteous, ethical, isn't it? Then you are
a sense of honesty as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're being honest with yourself and...
Yeah, that's what the very honesty itself is what? When you're free from pricks and things, because you use your own will. Use your will. So being able to use your will itself, you know, makes you a more conscious, sensitive person. There are people who everybody is blessed with the willpower, but they're not able to use the will. And then they say there's no will, right? All everything is fate. The fatalists, they don't want, they say there's no will or something. Because they don't use the will. Because completely enslaved by their own desires and thoughts. Whatever thoughts say they do. Which means, completely, that is when we say they are manushya rupena mrigascharanti. They're animals in human form. That's why prayer. See why, only in this context understands the role of prayer, role of worship. Why do we need all these things? Isn't it? The Vedic culture and the Vedic way of life is amazing. It's, I know, it's such a wonderful thing. Very beautiful. It really, nowhere it has any tinge of interest in hurting or any causing any friction, any rubs, any relationship, anything. No. Everything is taken care of. Okay? It's good, doctor? So, last anuvaka we'll see next class. And you'll also enjoy, next also you'll enjoy. Again, annam comes. Then after I'll tell you the timetable, how to study the Saityam, so how to make it thorough. And very important, this other upanishad can, okay, this upanishad had to learn to chant also. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.